All right, so as I begin to, I asked Pastor Jeff if I could just share a few things with you about camp, and as I began to put my thoughts together, I felt like God had started laying some stuff on my heart. One of those is Let It Shine, and ironically, one of the songs that you heard us singing, Jaden did an amazing job leading us. One of the songs that we sang towards that end, and she even sang it to us on the way down to camp, amazing voice, she'll be on stage next week if y'all want to hear, was Let It Shine, right? Let your light shine. And so as I began to put this together, there were some things that I seen at camp that was absolutely amazing, and there were some things I seen at camp that was concerning. So we're going to talk about both of them and talk about how us as Christians can let it shine. So let me read you this scripture real quick. Matthew 5:16 says this. It says, in the same way, let your light shine before men, so that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Listen, if you're a Christian, you have this light that's inside you. That light, you're not the light, but the light that you're shining should be the Jesus that you're following. It should be a reflection. And see, that reflection isn't for everybody that's sitting in here today, but that reflection is for the lost that's standing out there. Maybe there's some lost in here today, I don't know. But that light is to be shown for those that are lost and without Christ. Listen, I'm going to tell you a story, and it's going to be a little bit choppy until I get to my story, but you guys hang in there with me, okay? Do I hear amen? Amen. No, that's weak. Come on, I get better than that at youth group. Do I hear an amen?
Amen.
Yeah, come on now. Listen, Jesus shows mercy on a sinful woman in this scripture passage. So Matthew 7:36-48, it talks about Jesus is invited to a house of this Pharisee, Simon. So Jesus goes to this Pharisee's house, and it says he reclines at the table, and he's getting ready to eat, and he said that there was this sinful woman in the community that heard about Jesus was going to be at this righteous man's house, right? Because we all know the Pharisees were very good at following the law, right? They were amazing. If I wanted to be an upright citizen, that's who I would want to model my life after, because it seemed like they didn't do anything wrong, right? But what they were missing, they were missing the heart of Christ. They were missing the light. Coupled with that, all that law following, coupled with the light, they would have been amazing people. But they were missing grace and mercy. So it says that this woman comes in, the sinful woman said that she had bowed down at Jesus' feet, and she began to weep so much that she began to wet his feet with her tears. And it said as she was down there wetting his feet with his tears, because she was just so grateful that Jesus was in her life, that she began to wipe his feet off with her hair. I don't know about you, but I've seen the dogs of some of these kids right here. I'm not wiping their, even if I don't have any hair on my head, I'm not using any of my hair to wipe their feet off. But it said, just joking, I'd do anything for them. Somebody loves y'all out there. So it says that this lady's at Jesus' feet, and she's washing his feet, and she's crying, she's pouring perfume on his feet. And it says that Simon, this very righteous, law-abiding citizen, sits there, and it says that Jesus perceives his thoughts. And it says that Jesus, that this Simon Peter says to himself, says, listen, if he was truly a prophet, would he not know the scum that was touching his feet? Right, and I began to look at that, and I thought, man, Jesus in this situation, no telling what she did in her life, Pastor Jeff. Maybe she was a prostitute. Maybe she was into drugs. Maybe she was into homosexuality. No telling what she was into. But in that moment, maybe the dirtiest of the people in that community was touching Jesus' feet. Not one time did Jesus shun her. Not one time did Jesus say, listen, you can't touch me, you've been defiled, I need you to go get cleansed, right? Get ceremonially cleansed by the priest. No, he sat there in that chair and he allowed that woman to touch him. And it said that Jesus said, Simon Peter, let me ask you this. Or not Simon Peter, but Simon, let me ask you this. He said, if there were two people and both of them owed money to a lender, and one of them owed 50 denarii, is it denarii, denarius, whatever you want to call it. I'm going to call it money. $50 to his lender, and the other one owed $500 to the lender. If that lender come to both of them and said, listen, I'm going to forgive your debt. You owe me nothing. Which one of those would love Jesus more, love the lender the most. And it said that Simon looked at him and he said, well, I guess the one that was forgiven the most. He said, Simon, you've answered correctly. And he said, he turns to this woman and he says, you've been cleansed. He forgives her of her sins and sends her on her way. Right? That's amazing. Every time I start to read the gospel and every time I start to read about Jesus' life, it just blows me away at every turn. Listen, I began to study again through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and as I began to go through it, it was like every other passage of Scriptures was talking about Jesus eating with sinners. Jesus not only eating with sinners, but He's being called, He's calling sinners to Him, and He's going to their house, and He's reclining at their tables, so much so that the Pharisees are coming to His disciples and saying, why is your master, why is your teacher eat with scum? Listen to me, one thought come to me as I was preparing for this. Apart from grace, judged by the law, everybody in here is scum. Right? Not one of us in here have earned anything. We're not good enough to earn God's grace on our life. Apart from His grace and His mercy on your life, but judged by the law, every one of us is deserving of death. Listen, love and mercy will conquer the most corrupt of hearts. Matthew 9:13 says this. It says, then he added, now go and learn the meaning of this scripture. I want you to show mercy and not offer sacrifices, for I have come to not call those who think they are righteous, but those who know that they are sinners. Listen, let me ask you this. You ever pondered why mercy is so much greater than sacrifice in this passage of Scripture? As I was sitting preparing this message, I asked God, I said, God, give me some revelation in this situation. Why did you want them? Why was it more important that they show mercy than sacrifice? And here's what I feel like He told me. Listen, sacrifice is an action to cover your sins. Right? It's a self-righteous action. It's something that you can do to cover your sins. It doesn't cover my sins. It doesn't cover Pastor Jeff's sins. It only covers your sins. Listen, mercy is a free gift that covers somebody else's sins. You know, when Jesus came to this earth, He was sinless. Had no sin. Jesus came to show mercy and offer a free gift to everybody in this place. Everybody in this place, a free gift of eternal life. Listen, if we aren't careful, our sacrifices create an attitude of self-justification, making us incapable of showing grace and mercy. See, we're not saved by works, but we're saved by grace. Listen, you, I, everybody in this place, we cannot operate in grace and mercy unless we are reminded we too are saved by grace. This is where I'm going to kind of get into what happened at camp. I think there was some phenomenal things happen. Let me read you this real quick. Listen, church, I want you to put yourself in this sentence. Listen, is John, is my reaction his reflection? So as I begin to carry on and I tell you these stories, I want you to continue to ask yourself, is my reaction when I come into contact with a sinner, is my reaction Jesus Christ's reflection? So at church camp, it was phenomenal. The speakers were phenomenal, Pastor Jeff. Have nothing negative to say about any of them. One of these nights, this evangelist comes in and he's got some amazing things to talk about. Very straightforward, very honest, talking about how that our youth are deceived in today's nation. How many of y'all know that Satan's working overtime to deceive the youth inside this nation, right? Or in this world, right? There's some unbelievable things going on that I would have never dreamed in a million years would happen. There's been two instances that I've been in a service outside of these walls, that I've been in a service that, the pastor began to talk about how that there's sinners in, amongst us and calling out to sin, because we definitely want to know the truth, because the truth will set us free. But as this pastor begins to talk, and I think he does an amazing job about allowing our students to know that, listen, if you're involved in these things, you're being deceived. And when he says that, he says, what in this world bothers you? The crowd erupted. Transgender! Homosexuality! And it's just like, and I was very impressed with this guy. He says, hey, listen, there was a kid stood up and he's like, you know, and he's screaming at the top of his lungs. He says, listen, son, sit down. This isn't time for you to clap. Sit down. And so as I began to look at this, my heart was broke. Right here, there's no doubt there's kids inside this group that are going to die and go to hell if God doesn't have a impact in their life, if they don't see the light and they don't change their ways. Me and Pastor Jeff, we went to a conference. Oddly enough, it was about salvation. And the whole community of Christians come together. There's hundreds of us singing worship, praising God, doing all this stuff, right? We're bringing glory to God. And he says, listen, tell me there's not somebody in this audience that hadn't committed murder. Tell me there's somebody in this audience that hadn't had an abortion. And the crowd, woo! Right? They're screaming at the top of their lungs. And I sat there broken that day too. Listen, church, in those situations, I talked to a guy after that. I had a talk with our students. I said, listen to me. I said, what happened in there? And it was one person started screaming and the whole crowd started screaming. I said, what happened in there was absolutely not a reflection of Christ. Christ would have been in that congregation. Christ would have been over there in the corner crying and ministering to the person that he was fixing to die for. So I went back to our room and I sat down and I'm like, man, how come as Christians we can't get this? Right? This grace and this mercy thing is more powerful than you could ever imagine. And I'm sitting on this bed and I look over at this guy, one of the camp leader or one of the youth pastors that was in there with us, and he's sitting there, great guy. I mean, I love these guys. They were awesome to be in a room with. And I'm telling him, I'm like, listen, the pastor did an amazing job. Amazing job. But what the Christians ended up doing in the midst of that, not everybody, I'm not saying it was everybody, but there was a large majority of them. I said, man, I just can't get on board with that. That's not a reflection of Christ. And he said, John, I just did it because everybody else was clapping. Listen to me, in this picture, there's light bulbs scattered all across that screen. Every light bulb on that screen has the ability to produce light. There's one in the crowd that's producing light. Let me tell you something. Let's go ahead and bring up those. You have those pictures? So, in this crowd of people, there's a convicted convict, just been out of prison for 2 years. He's done some terrible things in his life. There were three girls at our camp that were, this is mild in comparison. This is not her or them. I just found a picture on the internet just so you could get a depiction of what they might have been dressed like. They were dressed with black robes and satanic stuff on their ears and their chest. And this guy over here, he was there, and I met him the first day. And I could tell that something was off with him in worship. And I'm jumping and I'm trying to get him included. And finally, he just kind of shuns me. He taps the girl on the shoulder in front of him. He says, let's get out of here. So they walk off. And at first, you know, I wanted to be offended, but I thought, you know what? I'm not. I'm just going to love the kid throughout this week. So I'm going to start over here. I've got from back row to front stage. Listen, the law called this guy convicted. Grace calls him chosen. These girls right here, I told my wife, I said, and I told this guy, he come and sit down at a table with me with some other youth pastors, because I like to talk, right, babe? So I'm talking to everybody in this youth camp, and Before I know it, I got all these youth pastors sitting at this table with me, and I'm talking to this guy. And he says, John, listen, I just got out of prison. Whenever I got out of prison, I went to prison for drugs, and I went to this church that I used to go to before I went to prison, and I went up to the pastor and I said, listen, I want to get in front of the congregation and ask for forgiveness of my sins because I come into the church high. He said the pastor allowed him to do it, so he comes into the church, he does his thing. Pastor said, hey, listen, that was great. Everybody received him well. He said, but from here on out, you'll sit on the back row Sunday and Wednesday, and when it's over, you got to leave immediately. He said, man, John, it broke my heart. So he said he goes to King's House, was a church that took care of the camp, and they were kind of running all the events and the service portion of it. He said, I went to King's House. He said, and they pulled me in, and they've loved me ever since. Not only have they loved me, but they put me up here in front of the stage and let me pray the services in. Right, here's this guy that was in prison, and if you see him, he was actually going to come today. He lives in McAllister, but they had a youth service at their church. If you see him, he's got tattoos all up and down his arms. He's got these huge gauges in his ears. He looks like he's been in trouble in his life. And whenever I was sitting at that table with him, he said, John, you know what? Because I was asking him about this girl. I wanted to meet her. I wanted to talk to her, and I wanted to show her what true love from Christ was. And so I told him, he's sitting across from me, and he says, I can get you fixed up with her because she goes to our youth group. He goes, but can I tell you something? He said, everybody always looks at me weird. He said, I've had kids since I've been here ask me if I've killed people. He said, it sounds funny. He said, but really, I think it got to him. You know what I mean? It was one of them things that no telling what he's done in his life. He said, but you and your church, not one time have looked at me funny. Listen, so whenever I get out to this group of kids after that service that night, and this girl's walking around and people are making fun of her, not everybody, but there were those, you could kind of see the seas parting as they were walking through, and it was odd. It was hard to look at them and not have thoughts about what are they into, why are they here, why did they show up looking like that. And so I come down and I tell my students, I said, listen to me. I said, this girl showed up to camp. These girls showed up to camp this week. They showed up here expecting that Christians were going to treat them a certain way. I said, when they leave this camp, you're going to show them the love of Christ. When they leave here, you're going to show them something different. And here's what happened, Pastor Jeff. They said, you know what that girl's name is? You know what that girl's name is? What is it? Esther. That girl's name is Esther. You know what, Dad? We've seen people making fun of her, and we went up and we talked to her. We loved on her already. We already know her, and her friend's name, her girlfriend, by the way, her girlfriend's name is this, and the other girl's name is this. I thought, man. You know, you spend all this time talking about grace and mercy and how it impacts lives. And you think they're sitting there and they're playing on their phones and you're like. And you show up at camp in a real life situation. And I tell you what, I wouldn't have went to camp with any other group. They couldn't have paid me to go with that group of 100 kids. So the last day of camp, we come in, and this guy, I've made friends with him. His name's Matt. He's actually going to come speak to our youth group, and he's talking like he's going to come speak to the skating rink this Monday night, or the 31st. And so the last day at camp, he comes in, and he sits down with me. And the day before the last day, I went and I sat with these girls and talked to them. Sweetest girls you could imagine. And I just told them, I said, one girl was saying some pretty profane things to me, her friend. And you know what? In that moment, I could have been offended. I could have got up and I could have walked away because she said some stuff that it would turn most of you around and make you run. And I looked at her and I thought, you know what? There's something going on in her. So I sat there and I loved on them. I said, listen, I'm so glad I got to meet y'all. Get up and I leave. Well, the next morning, he comes in and he sits down at breakfast and he's facing me. He says, John, listen. He said, last night after service, He said, that girl come up to us. This is a convict, right? With tattoos and big gauges in his ears. This girl comes up to us and she turns her heart over to God. And listen, John, she was delivered of demons right then and there. He said, I don't know what happened. He said, it was so powerful. He said, it was so powerful that I woke up on the ground. I don't even know how I got there. He said, all I can tell you is there were some amazing things happening when I come to. He said, the glow on this girl's face was unbelievable. Let me tell you something. I don't care what kind of makeup they're wearing. I don't care what kind of jewelry they got on. The love of Christ will break through that. Right? Those walls that are standing between them and salvation will be broken like that. Not by laws. By love, by grace, by mercy. This guy right here. Oh, so he says, you know what we did last night? This is like after midnight. He said, you know what we did last night? She took all the demonic stuff off, all the satanic symbols, and we took it down to that lake and we threw it as far as we could throw it. Hey, listen, the next morning she shows up to camp. I mean, shows up to breakfast. I recognized her because of some features about her, but she was completely different. I mean, she was hair comb, no makeup, no jewelry, and just glowing. Listen, God is an amazing God. Listen, she was lost, she was loved, and she was redeemed. This last guy over here on the right, I can't remember his name. I wish I could. I'm terrible with names. What? Blade. I told you it was Blade. Why don't y'all listen to me? So like I say, the first night we were in there and worship was amazing. He's standing beside me and he kind of shuns me and he walks off. And after that, I would kind of try to chase him down just to talk to him. He would beelining out of there. So finally I was like, you know what, it's kind of weird. I'm not going to stalk him. I'm just going to, God be with him. The last night of camp, I watched this kid go down to the altar to give his heart to God. So this picture right here, we're getting ready to leave. This is like the end of camp. We're done. Our kids were up here dancing. And I'm fixing to walk out and I get this tap on my side and I turn around and I get this hug. And I step back and it's this kid right here. Listen to me, never give up on people. I'm telling you right now, I don't care who you know in your life that you feel like their fate is sealed and they're going to hell. No amount of law and restriction or guidelines is going to break through that hard crust on their heart. But let me tell you something, love will shatter it just like that. Listen, I've heard multiple times in my years in church, people talk about, we need the truth, John. I need y'all to speak the truth, and you got to preach about this, and you got to preach about that. And well, this is that time, okay? I'm going to speak the truth, but here's what I'm going to ask you. I don't want one amen. I don't want anybody clapping. If you have any emotions, it should be time to cry and hurt for those that might actually be in this service that are struggling with some of this stuff. Before I do that, let me read you this. It says, I will not judge. This is Jesus talking. I will not. Everybody say not. Jesus says, I will not judge those who hear me but do not obey me. Did y'all hear that? He says, I will not judge those that hear my words but do not obey me. So these people are not obeying Christ. He says, for I have come to save the world and not to judge it. But listen, here's where the hard part comes in. But all those who reject me and my message will be judged on the day of judgment by the truth I have spoken. I don't speak on my own authority, but the Father who sent me has commanded me to say how to say it. Listen, you want to know the truth? I've never seen homosexuality more in my life. It's so rampant amongst our youth, it's heartbreaking. I've never seen drug use more than I see it today. I've never seen issues with identity more than I see it today. Do they need to know the truth? Absolutely, they need to know the truth, and here's why. And here's what I've told them at the skating rink. Here's what I tell them in my youth group, and here's what I'll tell you right now is because I love them. And God forbid they go to hell. Right? Because the truth is, the Bible says if you hear my teachings and you don't obey them, there will come a time. But listen, the time to judge is not today. Jesus said, I didn't come to judge, but I come to save. Right? It does no good to go out there and tell them. They already know what they're doing is wrong. The Bible says that I no longer write my laws on tablets of stone, but I write it on their hearts. Listen, I'm telling you, when that girl showed up to camp, she already knew what she was involved with was wrong. What she didn't know, what God doesn't write on her heart, is the love from you. Is that light that God commands every one of us in here to show them. Listen, we serve an amazing God. I'm telling you, you would run me off of this stage if y'all have known the stuff that I've done in my life, the thoughts that I've had. Let me ask you something. You don't have to raise your hand, but I'm just going to ask you something. Kaylee come up to me today and she says, Dad, did you know you played that first song with your hat on? Yep. Actually, let me raise your hand. How many of y'all noticed I had my ball cap on today? How many of you thought, well, that's disrespectful? Right? It's all right. You can be honest. I wore this hat for this reason. As Christians, we come to this church. We put on our clothes. We show up here. Every week, we got a way we should look. We got a way we should talk. And God forbid. Now, I'm not talking about this church. I think this church does an amazing job reaching people. But God forbid the church as a whole have somebody show up that looks just a wee bit different. Does something just a wee bit, something that you're not used to seeing. I've never seen Pastor Jeff stand up here and preach the gospel with a hat. I've heard him preach the gospel. Don't get me wrong. Good job, by the way. But isn't it funny how when just one little thing's a little bit out of sorts, the one thing that we fixate on is that? Listen to me, no joke, church. When that girl walked in, I had to be very intentional about looking past that makeup. Listen, I have no doubt that God's doing some amazing things in this church, and this is why I'm telling you this is a warning, because I believe wholeheartedly we're fixing to see more of this stuff than you've ever seen in your life. And when they show up, is your reaction going to be His reflection? Everything I read about Jesus is He dined with all these sinners. Said that many of them followed Him. If you're dining with the Savior of this world, if you're close enough to the Lord of this world, dinner isn't going to ever be the same. You're going to be sitting by people that stink. You're going to be sitting by people that are homeless. You're going to be sitting by people that are demon-possessed. And listen to me, church. The minute this church gets filled up with people like that, get ready, because there's fixing to be a revival happen. Because I'm telling you, in this community right here that you stand in, I go to this skating rink, we're fixing to go to it again, and I see more hurt, more heartache, more deception than you could ever imagine in this little town of Choctaw. You guys stand up with me, would you?